Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lo le di el
du mare. Is it rolling, Bob?
Happy Easter, or happy spring, if you prefer that, if you're not of the, if you're not observing religious holidays, or are offended by the fact. Speaking of which, you know, there's a lot of jokes that aren't really all that funny made about God and Jesus and so on, and I don't have a problem like, oh, I'm offended, that's my religion. No, you know that. But they're not all that funny, and sometimes I feel they're being put out there because people want to show, ha ha, I don't give a shit about your religion, because I'm smart enough to have rejected it and outgrown it, and I don't believe that stuff, and I'm going to prove that by putting up jokes that really aren't that funny, but they're going to annoy other people. Like, I don't see that as being constructive or clever or helpful or furthering the dialogue. I think it sucks. You know, really do. So it isn't to say that, you know, I'm saying don't do it. People are going to do it, and that's fine. And if it's a form of protest to push the limits, I just like to say, okay, well, let's, I don't see any of those about our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or anything else, because we've seen that these people, you know, anybody who offends Islam in a public way, dares to, like the people who did Charlie Hebdo in France, get mowed down and killed and are threatened the way Salman Rushdie did, you know, and that's, I'd rather see people up in the ante on that one and saying, hey, don't tell me I can't draw a cartoon of your prophet. Why is he any different from any of the other prophets, and why should we live in fear of this? So I don't know where I'm coming from on this point, because it sounds like, gee, I'm contradicting myself here. I want to just stir things up more. And I certainly was not, if anybody's stupid enough to think I'm saying it's not okay to insult in Christianity, but you should be insulting Islam. No. You should feel free to offend all religions equally, I guess, is really what I'm saying. But more to the point was, many of the jokes that are being put out there and repeated, and, you know, I'm talking about Facebook and Twitter, they're really not that clever or funny anyway, you know. But, okay. Let's forget all that. Can we just start? Happy Easter. It is cold a little bit. I'm sitting here in Bluffers Park, but it is sunny. This is my first day out. It's Sunday, and I have not been out of the house since Wednesday. Well, except to get to and from the hospital. So this is a post-surgery podcast from yours truly, Ken, a.k.a. the Scarborough Dude. Happy to be out and happy to be recovering. Happy that they gave me 30 Percocets or pills of something like that, with a pretty good painkiller component in them. I've used 15 of the 30. I probably won't use all of them. The pain is just a sort of a little less each day. It's just a little easy to twist and turn and bend, but still, picking up the toilet seat or lifting up the toilet seat to pee is the hardest thing yet, just because of that particular movement or that angle. But I'm learning. I'm getting around it, and I'm sleeping okay, and of course I give myself 2 pills at bedtime. That helps. But anyway, I thought this would be a good opportunity to get started, to say hello, and welcome myself back to the land of the living. The surgery went well, as far as I know. I liked the doctor very much. He came by my bedside sort of the evening of. I mean, he was in there early in the morning of the Wednesday when he did the surgery, and it was probably around, I don't know, 10 or 11 at night when he came back, you know, and just to check in on me. And it was just more of a friendly chat than anything. And then I was talking to student doctors. I forget what you call them, people who are, you know, they're officially doctors, but they're doing their internships or whatever with him. And one woman in particular who raved about him and said, he is my favorite by far of all the doctors I've worked with. This guy is absolutely wonderful as a person and as a surgeon. So I was pretty lucky, and I was lucky to get it done as early as possible, and I should be fine by the time summer comes around. And I'm holding out hope that I'll be able to walk a little better after all of this, too. The walk was the thing that really bugged me the most. Again, as I say, at the very least, it won't be any worse than it was, but I'm thinking it might be actually a little bit better. I'm probably going to have to learn to do some physio and stuff that will help me. Now I'm officially diabetic. The nurse was asking me about meds. I said, oh, I'm taking this metformin. Don't you say you're diabetic? I said, oh, no, I'm not diabetic. The doctor said he's just giving me these to help me ward off, you know, getting diabetes. She said, no, you're diabetic. Sorry to break the news to you, honey. And I realized, oh, I guess that's true. Jeez, that's something I've been trying to avoid forever. But I've done, you know, I'm trying to avoid. I've done nothing at all ever to change my diet. So anything I've got, and, you know, even this surgery business, yeah, I was destined. I do have stenosis, which is a narrow spinal column, and so I'm more likely, and I've got arthritis, so I was destined, no matter what I did, to have this pain and to eventually have nerve damage from, as a result of, you know, the bones pushing on the spinal column, which is what they went in, sliced open the back, or did a very nice job. I got Nelco to take a picture of my back. I shared it with Shane and Tom. I won't share it with anybody else. It looks disgusting. A whole lot of staples holding the sides together, but like they slice you open and they go in there with a router or something and just take away a lot of the bone that's surrounding the spinal column. It's called a bilateral laminectomy. Google that. Bilateral laminectomy. And it's amazing that they can do this and do it as well as they do. And wow. So, all right, so that's on the, what have we covered? We've covered religion, we've covered the medical front. In general, should we do politics? I haven't done that yet. Well, it's the usual crap going on. I'm sorry, I bow my head in sadness for the latest terrorist attack in Brussels, but by the time I say this or you listen to this, there's probably going to be another one somewhere else, in Syria at a football game or in Iraq, and it's just going to continue to happen for a very long time. And I guess, see, you know, my son was asking, like, why, what do they expect to gain from this? And I guess the bottom line is, for the true fanatics, they would like an all-out religious war of the rest of the world versus Islam. And the more, you know, people strike back and bomb people, the more they're going to be able to rally their troops and forces and say, hey, it's a war on Islam. We have to fight back. And given that there are 1.3 billion Muslims in the world, this is not going to be a, this is not a road we don't want to go down. This is not a road we want to go down. This is not a good road to go down. We don't want a Donald Trump saying, I'll just nuke him. Because he won't get them all. No, that's not the reason for not doing it. This is just not the way to solve this problem. And really, the way to solve the problem is greater and greater inroads and more tolerance for people of various religious backgrounds, even though I'm coming at it as an atheist. I want to be done with all the fucking religions, put an end to them all. But no, that's not reasonable at this point in mankind's history, this dark time at the beginning of the 21st century. And this is how it will be viewed. I can't even imagine what's the world going to be like in, let's see, 2066, 50 years from now, 2066. What will the real politics of the world be? It's just, it frightens me a little. And it sometimes makes me feel that I want my lone, pitiful little voice to continue to exist as a podcast. I want to say, hey, look at me. I had all kinds of freedom. I can say whatever the fuck I want right here now, and nobody's going to arrest me and drag me off or torture me or kill me or wipe out my family. But I sincerely hope that this degree of freedom that I have and relish and try to share will live on that freedom, and I don't mean freedom under, you know, the capitalist system. I mean true freedom to express yourself fully, to develop, to grow, personal freedom, so that as a human you can reach your potential. And I mean freedom in the sense of the book that Jason Rees is reading right now called On Becoming a Person by my hero, Dr. Carl Rogers. That kind of freedom, the freedom that we can grow to become better, more enriched people, that we can sort of reach up to those levels on Maslow's hierarchy, even though I know that is a very dated model and is not fully accurate, that the concept of individuals having the potential for personal growth and understanding, that we can grow towards the light, that we can be more kind and more loving and more forgiving and gentler and deeper and more thoughtful and better friends, that these things will always be a part of who we are, and that we will always have the kind of freedom we need to grow in these ways, which is just certainly not the case in so many other places. I just shudder to think of all the darkness, all the places where people live in fear. Again, this little voice you're hearing now knows very well that my particular vantage point is very rare and is not the norm and is not common. And I really believe it should be, not that people should be like me, but that people should live in a world in which they are free to express themselves. Maybe it's about creativity and artistic freedom and liberty of that kind. And again, we're not talking about how rich can you get under this broken capitalist system. We are talking about, can you be who you are? And can you be the person that's inside you? Can you fulfill your destiny? You know, I know I'm reaching here. I'm stretching. I'm just trying to get the words to come out to zero in on what it is I'm actually believe in. Well, that brought me to a stop, didn't it? I cornered myself and said, all right, dude, speak up. What is it you really believe in? I think I just told you. I think I just told you. I think I've just run out of steam. I think I've said my piece. I think I've said enough. It's, I guess, you know, it can be faulted for being okay. It's a white, it's a middle class, it's a Western perspective. All the things I've talked about are coming from one particular viewpoint. It's the viewpoint that says, hey, political correctness fucking sucks, and you should be able to express yourself in ways that are good for you. And by that, I'm not saying go out and kill or eat people. That's, you know, I guess there are parameters, there are limits on this thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, perhaps, right? Kids, do whatever you want, be whoever you want to be, just as long as you don't hurt anybody. That, of course, is from here. I guess I'm very, very, very much shaped in the times I grew up in. And maybe that's a lot of what this podcast is about. It's not just a 67, soon to be 68-year-old man blabbing away. I'm a product of my times. I am very, very, very heavily influenced by the courses I studied at university, the existentialists, the psychologists, the people of growth psychology, the humanists, which I am now. And I guess I'm delighted in the fact that at this ripe old age, I still feel very much in a position of growth. That, no, I haven't arrived, but I am still growing. I'm still evolving. I'm still changing. I'm still searching. I'm still in the game. I'm not stagnant. Life just doesn't reach a point where you just stop and decay. Yeah, the body is certainly showing signs of decay, but the mind, the heart, the spirit continues to feel free and open. This is absolutely wonderful. Yeah. I'm almost, I guess there's a little bit of me as I say these words. I'm almost faintly hearing in the background somebody calling out saying, bullshit. That's a lot of crap. You're not saying anything. Those are just words, man. No, that's, there's naysayers, right? And there will always be people who will challenge us, make us feel smaller than we are. We'll try and put limits on our growth and our change. People who don't want, who want to see you in a fixed way and don't want to think of you as a changed or a changing being. It's much easier to pin somebody down, and I think we talked about this on maybe the last podcast, you know. Pin them down and say, this is who you are. I've got you pegged. And don't pretend you're anything other than what I already think you are. And of course, that's kind of ridiculous. So, I'm celebrating spring. Spring is a time of growth. So when I said happy Easter, I'm really meaning happy spring. Celebrate the season. You hear the birds. The buds are on the trees. No leaves yet, but you can tell, boy, they're not far behind. It is a time of change, of reawakening, of revitalization. And I feel that running through me. I really do. And that's a happy note, so let me just try and end on that happy note. I feel very positive, and I hope some of my positivity gets shared through these words, and that you're picking up on it, and either you're just happy for me if you know me and you care about me, or you're happy because you know that, hey, you too can and should do the same. Treat yourself well. Let yourself be. Let yourself free. Be who you are. Find out who that is. Stop with all the blocks. Get all the shit out of the way. Knock down that wall. Those walls. Those layers. Peel them away. Be free. Express yourself. Oh, yeah. Cliche after cliche after cliche. But you know. Yeah. I believe them all. I believe them all. They work for me. Scabbard Dude and the man also known as Ken, one and the same, signing off on this glorious Easter Sunday. Feeling good enough to be able to sit outside on my favorite bench in the fresh air here at Bluffers Park. Yeah. Take care. Stay tuned. And speaking of tunes, here's one I think you're really gonna like, because I do. We'll be right back. And we're on. Okay. It is Wednesday, I believe. The, come on now, phone's upside down. 30th of March. And I've just had 18 staples pulled out of my back. Didn't hurt, only one of them. Just made me a little wince, just a little bit. And the rest, I hardly felt it at all. Very nice nurse doing it for me. And then I talked with my doctor. He said, oh, that looks good. Come see me in 3 months. Blood sugar is fine. You know, no worries there. Do another test in 3 months. So all is well. The walk. Okay, let's start with the staples. This was, so the back surgery, if you listened to the podcast before this, you know that a week ago at this time, I was, 11 o'clock in the morning a week ago, I was just, somebody was putting a mask over my face. I don't even remember that part. All I recall, I guess, was sort of groggily coming to in a curtained off section of a recovery room. And a little bit of pain, but they kept giving me meds every 3-4 hours, and that was fine. And Doc, my family doctor today, said, oh, you know, if you need the meds here, I'll give you the prescription. You get them if you want. This is for something that Percocets, sorry, generic form of it, that they work. You know, and if you're in pain, take them. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to fill it out, but it's there. I'll give it to you. Very casual about it, and that's fine. I said, yeah, but I was worried. Well, but, you know, don't worry about it. But I got these other pills I was going to get rid of. Well, you can keep them. So anyway, I like his manner. I like talking to him. It's like we're one-on-one, and I feel like he knows me. He knows about my son. He knows a bit of my history, and he'll confide in me, too, which is really neat. I like him. I like the guy. Now, some people would like a little more of a formal style, you know, where the doctor comes in and ready to scold you and tell you do this, don't do that. And he's just, you know, hey, whatever. You got 4 score and 7 years in your life, and anything beyond that is gravy and a bonus. So it's almost like, what are you worried about? Just carry on, you know. Do what you can do. Just look after your health overall. So what about my back? Do I need to go to physio? Yeah, if you want, sure. But just look after yourself. Take care of your health. So it's kind of a neat approach, kind of refreshing. And I liked him the day I met him. And I think my son finds him a bit casual, but my son hasn't been back for quite a while. The funny thing about it, too, is at the end, I said, well, I do look after myself. I look after my mental health anyway. I try. I'm in a positive space. And I pulled out a copy of Dixon Jane's, the one that's just hot off the press today. And I showed him, I said, I do this, I put this out for some friends. He said, oh, you do that yourself? Yeah, the whole thing, yeah. I said, yeah, do you have an extra copy? Is that your only copy? Can I have a copy? Well, I said, sure, take it. So, and I told him, it's bathroom reading. And he said, no, that's great. He said, I just had a little newsstand put in my bathroom for magazines and stuff. So I think that's pretty funny. So I can't read out anything to you now. I wouldn't anyway, but I think it is kind of neat. The one copy I had is now with my family doctor. I will not invoice him for it, and I'll see if in 3 months from now, when the next one comes out, whether he'll want another copy or not. I think I'll have to try once again to give one to my my minister. It seems fitting, doesn't it, Greta, who you've heard so much about on this podcast? And only I'll give it to her directly, not her husband this time, because I think the first one might have just got trashed. I don't know. Didn't hear back. So, where are we? What have we got to say? There was a lot in my mind before I got here. I'm at Thompson Park. I just tweeted that. Sometimes I forget. You know, I think you're getting this stuff on all levels. But no, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know as of right now that's where I am. You know, my back feels a little better without the staples there. I think when I sort of bend or pull, I think the staples actually pulled a little bit. You can imagine they would. Hey, you got staples in your back. Of course you're going to feel it when you stretch. And now they're all gone. I feel pretty good.
Wow. It's pretty neat. I mean, to be able to have surgery. And this is a fairly major surgery. Like, fuck, slice you open, go in there and take out some bone and sew you back up or staple you back up. And Bob's your uncle. Now, unfortunately, I think I started off by saying my walk is still flop, 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 you know. Not as bad as it was, but he is optimistic. I am optimistic that in time it may go away. The nerve may, either the nerve that controlled the particular message to send down to your feet when you're doing a normal walk, that nerve is dead, in which case it won't come back, or it will over time, either, I don't know if another nerve can take over or that one will just regrow or what, but there is hope that in time it will get better. So we'll see what happens. I'll remain positive, optimistic, hopeful. What else? Well, listening to the news. I felt before I came out that I had to talk about all the shit that's going on. I talked about it with a doctor of how, for people my son's age, 24, the son I have at home, Chuck, for his age, it's a dark outlook to the world. And I was seeing, like, for example, now I don't know what, I don't track down where my son's going and so on, but for example, porn. I said, you know, when I was young, you got your Eden's catalog and you look for the panties and bras and you got your jollies off. Dude, oh my God, look at that. Would I ever love to touch one of those? But for a kid now, there's almost no escape from the degradation, from almost the horror of sex. That the porn industry has taken over and there's something for everybody's perversion. It's there, you'll find it. And by accident, you know, I mean, I occasionally go there. And it can be very, very disturbing what you do find when you're not looking. And what's that do? How's that shape your outlook when you're younger? I'm an old guy. Like, I'm past that. It doesn't impact me the same way. But if you're young, man, oh, man. That's just awful. And we haven't even begun to realize the harm. This unlimited access to dark pornography will have on people. You know, I don't know if it's maybe somebody, a younger person out there might challenge me on that one. Say, I don't think so, but no, it ain't healthy. It ain't healthy. And then on top of that, the violence. And I'm not talking about the violence of video games. I'm talking about, you know, see these guys drowned in steel cages. See these guys having their heads swiped off. Because that stuff is filmed and posted. And friends are going to say, hey, my God, did you see this? And that is just so tragic and so sad. And it, in this year, 2016, you know, the early stages of the 21st century, it's dark. It's horrible. Now, there is, of course, always the bright side. The fact that this surgery I just had, wow, here we live in a hospital. There's no bombs crashing down through the roof. The electricity is on 24/7. The surgeons are there to do the job. They have everything they need to get the job done properly. We're lucky. This is wonderful. But again, it's this very special place and time we live in. So, let's not go there. Let's not talk about the missing girls still in northern Nigeria. They're just made captives and slaves. The Pakistani bombing that just sort of timed to go off at an Easter celebration in Pakistan for all the Christians. The continual bombing, and you know, we've done France, we've done Brussels. Yes, those are our European allies, but of course, everywhere else in Iraq and in Pakistan and in Turkey and everywhere else that is happening on a daily basis. The chaos, the suffering, the pain, the fear. The horror. Let's not talk about that, okay? Let's leave that aside. Can we find something brighter? Well, again, Dixon James is out. The spring 2016 issue is done. The summer edition for 2016 is right now 12 blank pages. 12 blank pages. And that means if you're in on this, if you're a subscriber, you can write in. You can see your words in print. Now is the time to say, hey, I'm going to get on that. Because I just, you know, by the time you get this, I'm going to mail them out tomorrow. You may have already got your copy, or it's coming soon. And you can say, wow, look at that. Look at that article by Jason Reese. That was a really cool letter. I like that. I like that. And look at that. This guy in Tokyo. And holy shit, that piece by Sean up in northern Thailand, that was brilliant. That Ramblatorial. I wonder if I could do a Ramblatorial, number 75. Yeah, wow. So there's a lot of good stuff, is what I'm saying. And I'm saying if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, hey, contact Dixon Janes, DICKSNJANES at gmail.com and say, hey, dude, what's this zine you're talking about? How come I don't have a copy? Can I get one? And I'll say, sure you are. If you live in Canada, it'll only cost you $12 a year for 4 issues. That's 48 pages guaranteed, all different, all unique, stuff you have never seen or read before, even stuff by yours truly, myself. Yeah, you can do that. You can get that. You can have that. If you're in the States, $16. What's that? That's still about $12 Canadian. Come on. You can't beat it. All right. Anyway, that's just what's got me excited for the day. I haven't had a drink in over a week, wine or beer. I've watched my son and wife have some. Just seeing that, suddenly I feel like it. Yeah, a beer would go down well. Not supposed to have it as long as you're taking these Percocets and stuff, but I'm tapering off those. I'm almost done. I've only had one today. I probably won't get that prescription refilled unless I really feel the need to. So, you know, I could have a beer. There's another voice, another part of me thinking, hey, why don't you just keep going? Why don't you give up? Why don't you just cut it out of your life? Save a fortune in real money by not buying alcohol or going out to bars. And then the other voice says, yeah, but where's the fun in that? So the answer is always, you know, just cut it down. Just, you know, drink as much, you know. Taper off at home. When you go out, don't hold back. Go out, party, have fun. Do that once a week. That's good enough. And at home, yeah, maybe a glass of wine with supper if you need it, but you don't have to be drinking beer at home. Yeah, okay, lessons to myself. I guess it does sound like I'm talking to myself now and not really touching on anything new, so I apologize for that. I just wanted to share with you that I'm feeling pretty good. I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for both putting out this podcast, being back on the Dixon Janes horse, and riding this thing off week after week, but also for having completed what I think is actually a really very decent issue of the zine, and going forward with that. And I think the quality of the writing is good. I'm very, very impressed. I know what the other topic was, and it's a topic John Meadows wrote about in the zine. About the loss of debate, discussion, reasonable conversation, opposing views, you know, on forums, on posts, that people have become polarized and dig in, and if you don't agree with this view, you're one of them. You're worthless. As opposed to what ideally would be a discussion. Well, this is what I believe is right. You know, autism is caused by this because for these reasons, but not this venom of this side or this side. I've seen it especially with regards to my minister, Greta Vosper. She did she was interviewed on CBC, Wendy Measley or whatever. And it was a good interview in the church. And it was wonderful to see the church. I had my wife watch it. My sister watched it. You know, hey, that's my church. That's where I sit. Look at see those rocking chairs in the back? That's where I sit. And Greta spoke wonderfully, as she always does. She's just very, very good at this. But afterwards, the number of posts by people who were ignorant, pig-headed, foul-mouthed, full of hatred, and these are people sort of pretending to be Christians, sort of just, you know, she can't be, you know, like she's a witch almost, like, you know, throw her out. Who does she think she is? Nobody who listened, you know, and this is the problem. People take these positions without thinking, without listening, without being open to a real exchange of information and views and counter views. It's just, and it's really disheartening. I've tried a few. You go on another post about something, so that looks interesting. And then you make the mistake of clicking on the responses and the replies and the replies to the replies. And you see so much seemingly intentional ignorance and meanness. And that is kind of what John was writing about. Hey, it's our view or you're a complete jerk. An idiot, shut up, go fuck yourself. Whoa. Is there something else could we have? And I guess the internet maybe is just not meant for that kind of depth. And this is why, I mean, I love doing this podcast, although it's one way. I love doing the zine because that does involve other people sharing their ideas. But what is best of all of any of these is IRL, in real life, meetings in a bar over a couple of drinks, just talking with friends. You know, and you can tease and make fun and laugh, but you're actually engaged in real conversation. That's just wonderful. Okay, last point. I made reference to the book Millbrook that I had read, and I'm going to put a link up in my don't have show notes. Oh, by the way, I did post half jokingly for anyone who want to do show notes for the Dixon James podcast, and I did not get any feedback. Catherine Matthews, bless her soul, said, "Well, if you're really stuck," and I'm saying, "No, Catherine, no, you do enough." I was hoping some rookie might find it interesting, and I can see, no, I don't think so, dude. So that's probably not going to happen, and it's never happened anyway. Hey, I've done this for 10 years. I've never had show notes. Why would I start now? Well, I guess I'm thinking, gee, it might be nice to have a few new listeners, like to make me feel this thing is still worthwhile. So I was going to post a link on the page, you know, DixonJanes@blogspot.com. For this book by Art Kleps on Millbrook. And as I'm reading, I'm thinking, wow, this is it. You know, I know this stuff. How do I know so much about Millbrook? Well, I went down to my library, and I've got my beat shelf, two shelves of beat stuff, full, packed. I got my Henry Miller shelf. And then I realized, I've got this other shelf of mostly Timothy Leary, all his publications and some new, some used copies, and a lot of stuff of the 60s, the White Hand Society, and stuff just sort of exploring that bit of history. Who was doing what when Leary and Richard Alpert were doing their experiments with Sandoz LSD that they had ordered, and then this whole time when they had the sponsorship of a very rich family to set up base on their huge property in upstate New York. Wow! That is just the most interesting bit of time from these different views. So there was the Leary group, and then there was a commune of yoga-type people run by Bill Haynes. And then there was Art Kleps and his neo-American church that he was trying to use to get legal access to LSD as their holy sacrament. And you just Google this stuff. Just do, did I say Millhouse? No, Millbrook and Kleps. And there was another excellent book. I don't have it with me right now, but it's at home. Fascinating stuff. That's what really turns my crank. And it's sort of this step past the Beats. I've sort of moved on from the Beats from the 50s and the 60s, and then their stuff, and gone in that this kind of a new direction. Anyway, I guess I've taken up enough time. I don't think I've said very much, but this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I like. And I'm doing this to make me feel good, because right now I feel really good. I'm excited about going home and printing off labels and stuffing envelopes, folding up this thing. I fold it very neatly because I really am pleased with the end result, the looks of the sticks and chains. Now, a word to anybody who is a subscriber and gets copies. Any comments, even criticisms, oh, man, the font's this or that, or couldn't read that, there's too much on a page, the font's too big, the font's too small, whatever. You can send that stuff to me. I'll be okay. I won't cut you off. Just do it nicely, okay? Because I'm doing my best, eh? And it's something that I have to do. I don't want to turn this over to a designer or a typographer or anybody else. I'm doing it because all the doing is part of the fun. It's even the recording and the lack of editing and the, you know, writing my own XML files and stuff. That's fun to me, doing the whole thing. I couldn't do just one part of it, okay? So with that, you know, I'm not perfect in everything. It's good enough. All right, here's another tune to get you through, and I'll be back to finish this off maybe by the weekend. Scarborough Dude, signing out.
I love you because you understand, dear. Every little thing I try to do, you're always there to lend a helping hand, dear. But most of all, I love you 'cause you're you. No matter what may be the style or season, I know your love will always see me through. I love you for 100,000 reasons, but most of all, I love you 'cause you're you. Because my heart is lighter every time I'm walking by your side. I love you because the future's brighter, the door to happiness you've opened wide. No matter what the world may say about me, I know your heart will always be true. I love you for the way you never doubt me, but most of all, I love you 'cause you're
okay. Hang on. Got the recorder up in the visor. I'm sitting in the GO station parking lot, which is a little unusual. Regular listeners, once again, will know that when I do record from here, I'm usually a little bit sideways. Let's put it that way. That's one way to put it. A little bit sideways. And in fact, I may be now. Yet it's only 1:30 in the afternoon. It's Friday afternoon. I decided I was going to celebrate today. First day I'm sort of putting myself out there post-surgery. Just, hey, haven't had a drink, haven't had a toke in 10 days. More for the toke. And thought, oh, today, April Fools, if you're going to do it any day, do it today. Do it now. So I did back in my room before my shower, which I never do also. This was also something new. That, hey, I was opened up, I got my supply, right? I hadn't even opened them to smell them because I had to go in for the surgery and didn't want to deal with that. I was just glad it was delivered the day before, which is wonderful. Otherwise, I would have missed it. Anyway, decided, I better open them up today. Pack a little up there and, meanwhile, charge up, clean up my vaporizer, and then thought, well, hey, since we've got the whole shebang together, why don't we shibop shiboop? And that is what we did, or I did. Then had my shower, and then figured, oh my God, I gotta drive? So I figured, all right, here's a good plan. Just go down the road to the GO Station parking lot. I'm in the number two slot. Usually it's people who get here so early, they're the first to leave. So there's often one right at the front where you want to be, right at the intersection. So when you get off the bus or the GO train, you're right at your car. But I'm just going to sit here for a while and cool my heels. I was listening to the Shanecast, Faith and Pugs. And I put it on last night. Oh, good. Because I've been bugging him. Hey, well, why aren't you putting out a podcast, man? Come on. What's going on? So he did put out A Sound of Awesome, which is one of his. Not a Shanecast, A Sound of Awesome. And I put it on last night in bed. And I had just taken my Percocet and was feeling pretty comfy and kind of dozed off. And thought, oh, I guess he's just talking about his dogs. So today I listened again. Shane, I want you to know. And thank God, because, you know, I missed the good part about Shane just talking about the real stuff. How he was feeling. Where he was coming from. What's going on. And that's to me, one of the greatest things you can do on a podcast. Very few people do it. You know, I've been thinking a lot about podcasting. There's so many young people out there, younger people, and when I say young, I mean, I'm talking maybe 30s, 40s, who knows, but there's a fresh wave, really. It's big. People are trying to do shows, and it's usually groups. Like, it's not just individuals, but groups, a couple of guys, whatever. And they want to do it professionally. They want good equipment. They want good quality. They want to get up there on iTunes. They want to do some stats. How many listeners have I got? How am I going to get more listeners? And I think it's easy to condemn them. Oh, yeah, well, we did it just for fun in the early days before it was spoiled. And that's not really, I mean, that's not a very good way to put things. It's a wonderful thing that it's back. And after all those years of people saying it's dead, and there was a lull, you know, a dip in interest. And it's wonderful to see it back with so many new people. The catch is that who's got the time to listen? I mean, for me, the idiot box takes over in the evening, you know, from 6 on, basically. Bam, that damn TV is on until 11:30 midnight. And I'm trying, I have to try harder to get away. I'm doing it with my iPad on my lap, which is even worse, because then I'm not concentrating on either. But who's got that time? And often there are an hour, you know, we're not talking 10 minutes here, we're talking longer podcasts. You can only give up so much. So there was a period when I was feeling kind of disappointed. You know, the baby Sally didn't exactly catch fire, and it wasn't meant to. It was meant to be a change for me because I needed it. And now back here doing Dixon Jane's, there's a feeling, oh, my God, well, I've lost a lot of the original ones. The iTunes feed no longer works. People have moved on to other things, and I don't feel very appreciated. And then I thought, and sort of listening to Shane, realized, well, it's, I think all of us creative people feel that way. John Meadows probably feels that way when there isn't enough feedback about a photograph or something. And each of us who's doing something to express ourselves, to say, hey, this is me over here. This is how I feel. This is what's going on in my life. That we all want a little recognition for it, you know? And so those podcasts are going for, I want more numbers, I want bigger stats, I want an advertisement. They're not looking for the same thing. We're looking for sort of a human, real interpersonal connection. Like, I made a little, a snitty little post the other day on Canadian Amateur Podcast. Sorry, but this is a podcast segment. Well, hey, it is a podcast.
And all I saw was a beautiful red-haired girl, wholesome-looking, looked like she came from PEI, carrying the American flag on her shoulder. And it was always the top of the page. And it was just bugging me, you know, because of just our TV is inundated with even CBC is carrying all this Trump shit and everything else. And I just didn't want to see that American flag anymore. It was just irritating. So I posted kind of a note, which I guess probably maybe could be considered passive-aggressive, you know, if we're going to follow up on that. But saying, can't somebody else, you know, calling my Canadian friends, Adam, you know, Shane and Doug, somebody, put up a post so that it goes to the top of the page and we don't have to see this anymore. And Zoe, this was the person, Zoe got back and said, well, really, it's a podcast by two, you know, listen to the comm guys. Because I had said, there's other guys shouting at me and I'm not listening. I've got the comm guy in my head who's saying, hey, let it go, don't worry about it. And she said, let it go, dude. But she said it in a nice way and then explained the podcast as, you know, Canadians looking at American culture or something and give it a listen. And I wrote back, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, I was having a bad Donald Trump day. And you can go read the whole thing if you follow me on Facebook, you know, for what it's worth. Canadian amateur podcasters. But then I went to her site. I thought, okay, sorry, I apologize. Yeah, you're right. You know, I was a jerk. I was, you know, I'll give this a try. Thank you for being so politely Canadian, something like that. Then I went to her webpage, and all I could see on the webpage from this name, if that's the real name, was just post for other podcasts. Nothing about her, who she is, what she likes. It's all podcasts. And then this other guy, Todd, who takes over, not only this, but I'm surprised he's taken over Anthony's page as well. Todd, who I don't think listens to this. If he did, I'd say, Todd, hang up right now. I don't want you listening. Because I need somebody to be mean to, okay? And it's you. Todd. Yeah, same thing. Go to the website and then just all these promo posts and so on. And this is, you guys are as bad as the people trying to sell me shit on TV. I don't want shit sold to me. I want to communicate with other people, individuals, real life, soft, squishy, sensitive humans like Shane. He is cuddly and cute. He's a little bit of a... He's a pug himself, really, really. And I mean that in the nicest way, Shane. I spent some time with Shane when we were back in Vancouver. Actually, I had a couple of good nights out. And I made that crossover between Shane and Barnacle Bill. This is wonderful, going to the same pubs. And a friend of Shane's, who was the guy who turned me on to Millbrook, and to Art Kleps, who I'm raving about in this podcast and the Dixon Jane zine, where you can find the Boohoo Bible or the intro to it. The Dixon Jane zine, mailed out yesterday. Feeling very, very good about that. Very happy about it. And then I thought, you know, well, there's the same thing. I started thinking about some of the people who are reading it. Maybe they haven't written in, but I know they're reading it. Like, you know, the couple out in Nova Scotia. We know the Nova Scotia guy, and he wrote in about sailing and so on, but there's another family out there, friends of theirs. And they are the people you might find in a Mother Nature catalog, except they're very cool and very hip and very... No, take that back. Sorry, did not mean that at all. Cool and hip. Come on. These are people you want to spend quality time with. These are people you really respect. People who garden and farm and make their own beer and really flavor. You go over there to have a few afternoon pints. Holy shit, you are going to get a real taste. And so they'll bring out, okay, these are the herbs we use. These are the spices. These are the things we added. Like, these are talented, creative, intelligent people. And they are a sampling of the readership of Dixon Jane's. And suddenly I realized today, hey, Ken, whoa. Slow down. You don't want a whole lot of people reading this zine. You don't want this thing to grow. You don't want to be fucking licking 100 envelopes. You know, you don't want to go into the two digits. You want to keep it small and intimate the way it was in the beginning. So if you're in now, good. Hey, you're in. You'd have to be a real jerk to be taken off the list. I am going to start next year. I'm going to hold, you know, enforce the... Come on, guys, pay up or not. Because there's only so long I want to... keep paying for it. I mean, I just aiming to break even, you know. Hey, I can't indulge to the fullest extent. Yes, if I won the lottery, I would. You'd all be gifted. But I think it shows a bit of a commitment. Hey, do you want this thing? People are taking the time to write stories. People are making an effort. to make it good, to build it up. And it's like a club. This is a Dixon Jane's community. And I mentioned that in this episode, too. Or in this, sorry. Can I read the, you know, this is, I know this is crossing over. And I know you may think, hey, is this breaking all the rules? Can you do that? Because there is a real crossover now between the podcast and the zine. And I'm kind of liking it myself. I don't know how you feel, care about it. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know if I really care how you feel about it. I'm holding it in my hand, and I'm proud of it. Looks good. It's clean. It's neat. Nice font. Zaf Humanist. I always use that one. Articles from Tokyo, from Atlanta, Georgia, some things, and of course from Tennessee. All right. I know it's... Sorry. I apologize. Get off that right now. My point was... The people who are reading this now are people I've met over time, like friendships I've made. A lot of this is. And then there's other connections, and there's a core, and there's an overlap. And now there's a bit of a blend between the podcast people I've become friends with and the original readers who I've known in real life, like the people who went to Nova Scotia in 1988 for our reunion. And that was just an event. That's when we were going to have the rock toss. Anyway, we won't go down there either, but... is a wonderful sense of core, and I'm very proud of the fact that, hey, I've brought this back to life. I've rekindled this. There is a Dixon Jane's again. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to agree. And some of you will, for very good reasons, drop out because, hey, I don't know those people. I don't really care what they have to say. And there's a lot of that, too, and it's like this podcast. And that's good. That's as it should be. Shame. My good friend Shane. And of course, I heaped a lot of abuse on him for refusing to take out a subscription. Tom, I insist, have one. Mail it to his bar. No, Shane is banned. He couldn't, even if he asked, he wouldn't get on back on now. But it is another neat person. So I'm not trying to say these things are all sort of somehow exclusive. I suppose the trick is this: make some kind of a Venn diagram of hallways things, you know, and put the zine in the center and then just sort of expand the other circles. Okay, how do they all overlap? How is this and that? And who exists in a couple of the different, you know, circles? And of course that would be the Barstool Buddha. For one, who's still himself recovering from back surgeries. Anyway, I guess I've blabbed on. I've gone on a lot. I don't know if I really zeroed in on the target. I thought there was one. There probably is one. I think what's best to do is I finish this down. Go to Bluffers. I think I can get my way out of this parking lot. And start next week's podcast. All right? Does that sound fair to you? I've rattled on. I hope I made my points. The point was somehow to make connection with Shane. This Shane. See, there were two Shanes. Whoa. I was talking about Shane, the guy in Windsor. The squeeze box Shane. I wasn't talking about Shane, Pug Shane. In Vancouver. He lives, I mean, short walk from Barnacle Bill. They're neighbors, right? And the nearest pub. And that's why it's so wonderful. The time when I went to Vancouver, you know, and arranged, okay, we're going to go to this pub. What is it, the big red wheelhouse or Red Truck Brewery, I think. Maybe Red Truck. I go there with Adam Greatrix. Shane is there. With his dear wife and this other friend, Luck or Lauk or Luke. Never could get his name right. And then in comes Barnacle Bill and Yukon Larry. Yukon Larry. So some of those people met Yukon Larry for the first time, who was a character in himself. Yukon Larry is now down in Mexico. Yeah, gave up on Thailand. He's in Mexico. So there's a host of characters, a host of interesting people in my life in general. And, boy, am I grateful for that. Like, wow. If you're going to play the game of life, here's a good clue. It's not about power and money and everything else. It's about having a good network of good friends, interesting people to keep you going. And I'm one of those people you want to know, but I'm just saying, so, hey, sorry, the dance card's filling up, buddy. I'm just starting to give myself some of the credit I need to, and that's the thing about it. We can't do it to ourselves, so we beg others, and the others don't, we feel shitty. So, you know, give yourself a pat in the back for what you're doing, and have the faith and the confidence to know that you out there, too, are on the right path. Scabber Dude! signing out from the Ghost Station parking lot. Bye for now, and Bill be Bob's your uncle. I'll be back next week. Oh, yeah.